Robin Robertson is the author of The Long Take, the first work of poetry ever to be shortlisted for the Man Booker Prize. Set just after the Second World War, it follows the journey of Walker, a D-Day veteran with post-traumatic stress disorder, as he travels across the United States from New York to California. Just as in the movies of the era, his odyssey is framed by film noir. I began by asking Robin Robertson to tell me a bit more about Walker's journey. Robin Robertson, welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
So I've given a little portrait of the hero of the book, Walker. Could you tell us a little bit more about his journey across the United States?
Well, he's been on a number of journeys prior to the US. He was brought up in Nova Scotia, in Canada, island in the Maritimes. He then signs up for the Second World War and serves in the Normandy landings and subsequent campaigns in Europe. He returns to North America with undiagnosed post-traumatic stress disorder and with some pretty grim memories of what he's seen and done. He finds it impossible to return permanently to Nova Scotia and his sweetheart, Annie MacLeod, because of the damage, psychological damage that has occurred. And he does what a lot of returning servicemen did at that time. He goes in search of anonymity and oblivion in the big cities of the United States. So he starts off in New York, where he lives in a flop house and works in the docks. But it's too cold and miserable, and he heads west, first to Los Angeles, and then briefly to San Francisco, and then he returns to Los Angeles, where he has found some form of community, however damaged and derelict it is. It is still a kind of home.
And you use a very interesting phrase early on in the book. Cities are a kind of war, both far away and sometimes very close. It's a very striking phrase, the boredom and then the sudden frisson of excitement and sometimes terror, which keeps calling to mind Walker's terrible experiences in the war for him.
Well, yes, the city acts as a trigger repeatedly. And that is, again, I have read a fair bit about PTSD, and cities are probably the worst place to be if you suffer from that.
And you frame it in the form of an epic poem along the lines of Homer's Odyssey or T.S. Eliot's Wasteland. Did you feel that the form lent itself to that exploration of the darker side of PTSD?
Well, to be frank, I didn't know I was writing a long narrative poem until I had it finished, nor did I know that I was going to be writing about PTSD. The genesis of The Long Take was probably my slight exasperation at the lyric form, wanting to try something a bit more expansive and different and something that would accommodate some of the interests that I have long had. That would also embrace the cities. I've lived all my life in pretty much latter life in cities, and I've never written about them. And I wanted to address some of the ambivalence I remember feeling when I moved from rural Scotland to London. And this is where I felt the worlds colliding. I was able to talk about cities, about urban paranoia, about film noir, which is a direct sociopolitical product of cities and paranoia, and also talk about an interesting historical moment in the United States in the post-war period, which seems to me to have remarkable parallels with America in the present day.
You mentioned film noir, and the language is very much that clipped, harsh, hard-boiled sometimes language of film noir. I understand that the book is beautifully illustrated with images taken from the era. Are they stills from film noir themselves?
No. No, they're just largely press photographs of the different cities that are written about in the book.
And why do you think the late 40s was the time in the United States that gave birth to film noir?
Well, film noir was created not by Americans, although it is now regarded as one of the great American art forms, like jazz and blues. It was actually created by German refugees from Nazi Germany. They fled Hitler in the late 30s, and many of them, people like Fritz Lang or Billy Wilder, for instance, pitched up in Hollywood. And they brought with them all their sensibilities, their artistic skills, their training in German expressionist film techniques, the chiaroscuro and the low-key lighting and so on. And they also brought with them their terror at what they'd seen, unfolding in Germany. So it was an interesting mixture of skill set. And what you got was the cities on film haunted by terror. And this is what makes film noir interesting, to me at least. They are incredibly dark films about urban terror, about hopelessness, about anonymous characters disappearing within the machinery of a large faceless construction. And it was a unique vision, really, and it only lasted just over 15 years, probably, and then dissipated and died. But it has left a remarkable mark on the culture, and is still being copied or echoed today in film.
The audiobook version that I listened to and that's available in the RNIB library is deceptive. It's that wonderful form of poetry that doesn't announce itself as poetry. And I wondered if you read your work back to yourself before you send it into the publisher.
I test every line against the ear. Yes, I mean, that's what poetry is, or at least how it should be.
Are you pleased with the audiobook version? Have you heard it?
I have, yes, and Kerry Shale is a terrific voice to have on one side, and he manages to render the dialogues superbly. And what he does to get a woman's voice, I don't know. I'm glad I wasn't in the studio. But he is remarkable. Yes, I'm very pleased with it.
And I've read that you feel completely exhausted after, all used up, I think was your expression, after completing the book. Was that hyperbole, or are you going to take a rest from writing for a bit?
It wasn't hyperbole. This was a book that I could throw everything into. I mean, a lot of the lines go back 40 years. It accommodated almost everything because I hadn't been able to use much of the material in my own standard poetry for all kinds of reasons. So this was an omnium gatherum of a book, and so I cleared the cupboards, and as a result, I feel slightly cleared out myself. But I'll be back to writing once I've had a bit of a rest from all this nonsense.
You say nonsense. Obviously, it's the first time a work of poetry has been shortlisted for the Man Booker Prize. Were you surprised by its inclusion?
I was astonished, yeah. Yeah, it never crossed my mind, literally.
What do you think has led to the newfound love of poetry that we've seen in this country over the last 5 or 6 years?
Well, that's a complicated question, because I think you may be referring to a rise of interest in what people have called Instagram poetry or light verse, or which is an offshoot, really, of social media, where people feel that they have a voice on social media and some kind of validation, and they can voice what they feel are their deep emotions. And it's, I have no problem with people voicing their deep emotions, but I don't think that they should compare that necessarily to the writing of poetry, which is, after all, like most literary forms, it is a craft. It is something that you need to learn how to do, like any skill, and you aren't always an expert, and you certainly don't become an expert within a week or a month or even a few years. It requires a great deal of reading and practice. So I'm a little bit dismayed by the kind of pop-up poetry that people seem to be passing off as the real thing.
Although I suppose if it means that more people are interested in poetry, I suppose it's got to be a good thing, because it may encourage more people to write good literary poetry in the future.
I don't think there's any evidence of a connection between the kind of Instagram poetry that is written, produced, and read and celebrated and is on bestseller lists. There's no connection between that and authentic poetry. I work in publishing. I know perfectly well how many books of poetry are sold a year by various established or up-and-coming and brilliant young writers, and I can see how many copies are sold of some of the kind of greeting cards verse poets that have appeared and are bestsellers.
So, other than your own book, if you were to recommend that the listeners were to go and buy one collection of poetry this year, who would it be?
Well, as we've been talking about war, I would recommend people to read In Parenthesis by David Jones, which is his account of serving as a private in a foot regiment in the First World War, largely fighting in the Battle of the Somme, which is an extraordinary mix of poetry and prose. Dense and beautiful, and it shows a mind coming apart. I wish I could say that it has influenced me, but I'm afraid it's too great a book to allow itself to be revisited in my lines. So, but it is an extraordinary poem, and everything David Jones wrote and produced as an artist is memorable and important.
Thanks to Robin Robertson. The Long Take is available in a full range of accessible formats from the RNIB library.